Praise God. Well, listen, welcome this morning. Welcome to church. If you're new here, my name is Jeremy Smith, the lead pastor here. I want to welcome those of you watching online. It's a privilege to be able to have this opportunity to connect with you via the internet. And thank you for joining in. And thank you for being with us this morning and in person, live, right here. And again, our mission here at NLC, at New Life Church, is to make and keep Jesus the center of everything. And I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 will be, we've got a verse I want to read there, and then we're going to explore some more things. Today I want to talk to you about the power of connection. The power of connection. I'll go into what I mean. There's a lots of connections we have in life. Lots of connections we can make in life. I know some people would say if you get an open door from somebody and you really need something, you say, I got a connection, right? I know somebody that has the power to open up and provide that opportunity or that thing that we might need. And there's lots of connections in life. Let's read a verse here. Matthew chapter 16, the words of Jesus says this in verse 18. He says to Peter, You are the rock, and upon this rock, the rock of the revelation that Peter just had, and that revelation was that he recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church. Everyone say church. And the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will build my church, Jesus says, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Pray with me today over the word. Lord, we take a moment to thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your written word and your spoken word. Today we ask that you would truly open our eyes to what you want us to see in your word. Open our ears to what we need to hear. And I ask God that you would bless the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, that they would be well-pleasing to you and helpful to your people today. In Jesus' name, everyone can say amen. A week ago Saturday, I had the opportunity, Haley and I did, to attend my 30th high school class reunion. Whoop, whoop. And obviously hadn't seen people in 30 years, lots of folks, as lots of people do these days, keep up via social media as much as you can. Obviously, you don't really get to know a person that way. You just kind of get snippets, and you wonder, how are people really doing? I've seen a lot of friends and people I hadn't seen in quite a while. I was surprised at how I was able to put so many names with faces that I hadn't seen. And I don't think I fouled too many up because we all wore name tags. And so that helped me out a whole lot. Even though 30 years later, they still misspell my first name. Jeremy, I know you're with a Y, but I'm with an E on the end. And I couldn't tell you how many times I had to correct people growing up. It is with an E. I just finally just like, okay, forget it. It's just, they're still going to say Jeremy most of the time. Sometimes they would call me Jareem. Because you know I look like a dream, right? Sometimes they would call me Jerome, thinking I didn't know how to spell my name and thought that shouldn't be an E in the middle. It should be an O there, Jerome. And especially when you had substitutes. And substitutes just doing what they can to get by for the day. But nonetheless, they still spelled my name, misspelled my name, even though they knew my face. And so there was people there that knew my face that I didn't even think they knew who I was in high school. And so that was kind of neat to be recognized and known. Had a few conversations with some friends, and we reminisced a little bit about some families of classmates who had passed away. I think we've had 9 deaths, former classmates who passed away in these last 30 years. And we had some a moment of connection there, reminiscing about some of their stories in high school and how we knew them. Another opportunity we had of connecting was I was watching lots of my former classmates dance. And I told Haley and a few others, I said, I'm doing now what I did then, standing and watching. That's what I did at most dances. I was too nervous to get out there. Although I did have this one moment in high school when I was a freshman. I was in an honor choir and we were at an out-of-town competition, and we were back at the hotel just having a good time and playing some music from my generation, and I did get called out, go white boy, go white boy, go white boy. So I had a few moves back then, but I did not want to press my luck at my 30th high school reunion, because they had some moves. They still got it going on. But it was really good. It was great seeing a lot of people I hadn't seen, hearing some stories. I connected with a friend of mine. We grew up on the same street. I moved to that street in third grade. He moved to that street in seventh grade, and we were together all the way through high school. Rode our bikes together, played together, shot basketball every day afternoon at my house. Did all kinds of fun things together. He lives out of state, back kind of where he's from, but it was good that he came in, good to see him, and it was good to catch up and to hear that he's doing really, really well. It left me feeling grateful when I drove back home, left me feeling thankful, left me feeling, you know, valuable. Even after 30 years, people still have a good thought about me, you know, and so that was nice to hear. And it was also nice, I got to talk to people at the reunion that I really truthfully didn't talk to in high school. And hopefully I was able to leave them feeling valuable as well. You know, deep down, we all want to be connected. Even us introverts want to be connected. And I want to talk to you today about the power of connection. You know, the Bible talks, the Word of God has lots of different things it speaks to, and it does speak to the power of connection. Journey with me quickly through these. The Bible speaks of the connection of marriage, Genesis 2, 18, it'll be on the screen. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." And so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. Speaks of connecting in marriage. The Bible speaks to being connected spiritually as the family of God. Even in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32:30 talks about the power. It says, "How could one person chase 1,000 and two people put 10,000 to flight?" The power of connection from being alone, you have one, but being together as a covenant people in Christ, you have even greater strength as a spiritual family. The Bible speaks of being connected in friendship. Ecclesiastes 4 says, "Two people are better off than one. For how can they help each other succeed if one person falls, the other can reach out and help, and if someone falls alone, they're in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." The power of connection in friendship. There's another one, the power of connection in the agreement of faith. Matthew 18 says, Jesus said, "I tell you this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. And where two or three gather together as my followers, there I am among you." There's power of connection in agreement when we're agreeing together. And then there's also the power of connection to our Savior Christ. John 15, 5 says, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So many different, those are just a few examples in God's Word about the power of connection. I want to talk to you today about the power of being connected to the church. The power of connecting to the church. I believe that through Scripture we see that the power of being connected to the church is one of the most vital connections we can make, that we can develop, and that we can maintain to live out this life of faith that we have in Christ Jesus. I would say that honestly, I didn't know my calling until I knew my connection. I didn't know I was called to this thing, to pastor a church or preach the gospel like this, until I discovered I was first known to connect. My life's a product of being connected to the church as of 16 years old. Prior to that, I didn't want anything to do with church, didn't want to go to church. I would pray that my parents would wake up late and we wouldn't go to church. Didn't even know I was praying and I didn't even want to go. God's so funny. I'm in church not quite 52 Sundays out of the year, but most. If I'm not here, I'm probably somewhere else in another church, or sometimes just on a vacation and a good old-fashioned break. But I'm a product of church, that I feel like in a good way. I've only been a part of two churches. The church I was members of two churches. One, I got saved in a church, in the Nazarene church, and then shortly thereafter, we transitioned, found the other church that we were part of where we lived, and basically was raised and discipled in that church. And then in that connection, I discovered God's calling for my life, and then I'm here in this church. And so I just believe that I believe in the power of the church. I believe in living and connecting our lives to the church, not an institution. Don't misunderstand that. Many people are connected to a title on a building of a church, on a brick wall outside, on a sign of a church. Many are tied to a denomination in churches. I'm talking about being tied to the body of Christ, the people of God. And there are various local expressions of that throughout that we have. It's called the local church. And Jesus said here, he didn't call out a denomination. He didn't call out a certain type of people group. He did call out one word, and that is the church. He said, I am building my church, and I'm going to build it, and I am building it in such a way that the powers of hell cannot and will not prevail against my church. That's how much Jesus believes in us. He said, I'm building this. The word church, it comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means the gathered and connected believers who are called out to be together. So Jesus is saying, I'm building the ecclesia, I'm building the church who are called out to connect and be together. And the powers of hell will not conquer. I believe that the powers of hell cannot conquer a believer who is truly connected to the head, who is Christ, and to his body, who is the church. When you're connected to the whole part of Christ, you're connected to his authority in your life, his power in your life, and his flow in your life, the body of Christ, the church. Because the game plan of the devil is this, that is to deceive us. If he can deceive us, then he will isolate us. And if he can get you isolated, then he will devour you. He will eat your lunch. Consider the words of 1 Peter 5. Peter, I think, knows a whole lot about being deceived, isolated, and on the verge of being devoured. 1 Peter 5, 8, Peter says, stay alert. Stay alert! Watch out! For your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, if you've watched any National Geographic specials or even been on a safari, then you know how it works, how the lion does not come after the pack. The lion comes after that one who tends to kind of forget where they're at and keeps their head down and fails to focus on its community. And it forgets, and it slowly, slowly becomes more and more isolated from its community. And the lion is standing off, hiding, watching, not only looking at the group, but more focused on the one who becomes more detached and isolated and alone. And then, just out of nowhere, what it seems like out of nowhere, the lion pounces on the one who became isolated and alone and detached. And that's what Peter is warning us of. Stay alert, watch out, for your devil, the adversary, is roaming. He's like a roaming lion going around looking for someone to devour. And he is good at his job. He is good at his job. I'm not giving the devil credit or praising the devil or anything like that. I'm just telling you, he is good at what he does. I also would say the church should be good at what she does. Protecting its own. Looking out for its own. There's all kinds of, in the New Testament, what they call the one another commandments. Love one another. Serve one another. Pray for one another. Not P-R-E-Y, P-R-A-Y. The devil does the P-R-E-Y. We do the P-R-A-Y. If he's praying with an E, we need to be praying with an A. All of these one another things are in the New Testament. Now, I'm not building a message on that per se today. I'm getting to the point of the church needs to be good at what she's called to do. And that is to be together. That is to be together. To be together. The original early church in Acts 2. We've talked a lot about the early church since January. I know you probably have gotten tired of that text. Acts 2 verse 42 through 47. I'm not going to read it today. We just finished a whole series on it. It was based on that text, looking at the blueprints of the early church and how they apply to our lives today. But what we do see in that are people who were committed and connected. You see a group of people committed and connected. And as a result of being committed and connected, God was working in the midst of their connectedness. You read in that small portion, and then it gets amplified even more after that, how you see God working in miracles. Signs and wonders left the people speechless. Left the people in awe. God providing in ways that make no sense. God healing people left and right. God saving so many people. In fact, it said that they were being saved every single day. Not in my notes, but in my mind. There's a lot of things out there to try to get us to only see the negative in this world, right? And for the life of me, I don't know why people dwell on the negative. The Bible tells us explicitly, stop and look and make your mind think on the positive. I'm not talking about mind over matter and positive thinking. I'm talking strictly, the Bible does tell us, fix your thoughts on what is good and on what is right, what is lovely, what is pure, what is noble, and all of those things. And there are lots of things out there trying for our attention to make us focus on the negative. I want to tell you, there are also lots more positive things happening in this world than we know. Remember, we're not the only Christians in this world. Just in one week, we're going to hear live stories in about 3 weeks from one of our missionaries, Cuckoo Matthews. He's here, going to be here from India. Hasn't been with us since before COVID. He's finally back to the States. First time. We're the only church in the whole state of Tennessee that he's coming to. In 1 week, he just sent me this yesterday. You probably saw it, Lindsay. In 1 week, his missionaries built another water well, installed another water well that functions to provide clean water for a village. In 1 week, they distributed Bibles. And in 1 week, they baptized people. That's a lot more than I did last week. That's going on. on college campuses, there are students on college campuses coming to the cross and giving their lives to Jesus and getting water baptized left and right. I'm not talking about Christian colleges. I'm talking about colleges that are state funded all across this country. You name it, there's a place that somebody is coming to Christ. So I want to let you know, the church is doing her job. I know the church gets a bad rap. The church are the ones showing up right now in North Carolina and East Tennessee. Are non-church people doing help? Absolutely. But where does the majority of the funds come from? Christians. If somebody's going to fact check me, please do it. I have zero facts. How much money or how many hours or how many resources, I don't know. I just know I could easily find them if I looked them up. But what I am telling you, I'm not feeding you a line of bull. I'm just wanting to encourage you is that the church is primed and ready for one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit and revival this country and this world has ever seen before. And there's been many generations who have been touched by the power of God and love God and have come to Christ. Lots of people, lots of generations have been touched. But I'm telling you right now, I truly believe right now that God wants to be alive and thriving in His church. He wants those who call themselves believers, followers of Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, knowledgeable of His Word, and the love of God pumping through their brain, through their veins, to be able to be expressions of God's people on this planet. And Jesus said, man, that is the church that I am building, and the powers of hell will not conquer the church that I build. The ecclesia, the called out and committed ones to be together. And that was what was happening in Acts chapter 2. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. In Ezekiel chapter 37, there's a story that the prophet Ezekiel, God gives Ezekiel a vision of a valley of dry bones. And you go on and you read in there, you see and note that the valley of dry bones represent God's people. And God gives him this vision of this valley full of dry bones. He said, and he shows them, he said, they're all completely disconnected. They're scattered all across. They're dead, they're lifeless, hopeless. No purpose, dried up and all alone. And then God, through Ezekiel, calls His people to become connected. And He tells them through a series of things to prophesy and speak to these bones to come together. And then we see the full picture of the people of God together, what it looks like to be together and not disconnected, but to be connected. Their lives take shape. There's muscle and blood flowing and life in their lungs, breath in their lungs. They're moving, they're mobilized, they have strength, they have hope now, and they have purpose now. There is a distinct difference from disconnection and connection. You know the feeling when you know, take it for instance, if you're married, you know when things are just off with your spouse. If as a friend, you got a close friend in your life, you know when there's just something not quite right. And you can feel, you may not know what it is, but you can feel, man, I don't feel And there is a difference when you know that you know that you know you are connected and when you know you are disconnected. There's a difference. A couple of weeks ago, I go to plug my phone in at night. It's an expression for us today. I had to plug my phone in. Used to never have to say that back in the day. But you know how it works, right? You guys know how cell phones work, don't you? You may not have them, but you get the idea. You understand it. You got it. This little part goes into what they call the cube, or I call it the cube. Is that right? Yeah. Anyway, that cube plugs into the wall, and then this other little part. They've changed these other little parts a whole lot to make you spend a lot more money. Now you used to could have the old just one of these. That you're like, I don't need a new charger. I got mine from 2012. It still does its job. But no, not anymore. They go to USB-C, USB-A, USB I don't know anymore, and USB doing what you be doing, and I'll be doing what I be doing, anyway, I thought I had it, I put it on the stand, and I did the thing, and you plug it in, and I went to bed, Lily. I didn't think about it no more. I got up the next morning, unplugged it, took my phone, was drinking some coffee, going to read my verses in the morning, and I realized at the top it was red. My battery was about dead. I thought I had it connected, but I did not have it connected, and the telltale sign of it not being connected was about to die. I thought I was connected, but reality done told on me and said, you didn't plug it in all the way. We can go through life thinking we're connected. It gave the impression that it was connected. If I stood and looked at it, it gave the impression that it was connected. But had I just swiped down to see the level of battery, to see that it's green and got that little lightning bolt running through it, then that tells me fully connected. I do it now. I check it now. So I don't like waking up to a dead phone. I want to read my scripture and stuff that I like to look at and get ready for the day and all the different things. And then I got to spend time charging if I don't have it. You know how it works. You got to do something you don't want to have to do. You don't get to use it. Don't get to have it. And it gave the impression. Psalm 92. Turn there with me. Psalm 92. It's going to be our last part of this. Psalm 92 does a good job of answering, how do I know if I'm connected? And why should I be connected? Look at it with me. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright, that he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Wow, what a statement. Some powerful few verses. This really answers the question, how do I know I'm connected and why should I be? I want to give you three thoughts from this. Before I give you the three thoughts, first, let's take a moment and put the spotlight on that word planted. Planted in the where? House of the Lord. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, then it says you shall flourish, right? You shall flourish. Planted, being positioned to grow and to expand. When you're planted, you're positioned to grow and expand. Think of it in the terms of planting flowers or a garden, planted for the purpose to expand and grow. It's answering to us being connected to the lifeline inside and to the church. Planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. You will, when you flourish, gives the impression that you will live in the abundance of the life that is in Christ Jesus. In John 10, Jesus tells us that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Then there has to be more to this life than what we frequently taste and experience. I'm not talking about being a fake or a phony or trying to hype yourself up to be some version of you that you're not to be. But what I am getting at is I do believe believers should be fully alive. We let life get us. We let circumstances have their way. We let fear knock on our door and walk right into our living room. We let anxiety take over our brain waves. We let all sorts of things in life. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else that we have. And as Lori pointed out, where are you at, Lori? As Lori pointed out earlier, the battle's not right here. The battle is spiritual. And many times that spiritual battle feels like it's happening right inside our heart, does it not? But we have to know where we're called to be planted, where we're called to be connected. I could not imagine. I literally cannot even try to fathom my life without the church. Pastor or no pastor? But because before I was called, I was connected. Before I pastored, before I preached, before I led a small group, before I read a Bible verse, before I memorized a thing, any of that kind of stuff, before I prayed a real prayer, I cannot imagine my life without the church. I don't know. I don't know how people, one, get through life without Christ. But two, I don't know how you take your daily steps and live life without the body of Christ in your corner, circling you, doing all the one another commands that the Bible tells us to do in the New Testament. I can't imagine my life without the connection of the church. Being planted in the house of God gives us the ability to flourish in this life, to live the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus, who breaks the power of all destruction of sin in our life. Whatever cycle it is, whatever stronghold it is, whatever curse it is, the blood of the Lamb smashes it to smithereens. Jesus, the life of the power of the Spirit that is in Christ, frees us from the power of sin and death. Whatever sin it is in our life that causes us to miss our mark with God, Jesus comes and annihilates it, destroys it. You don't have to be held captive by any of that stuff. Man, that's freeing to me. That is so freeing. That's what Jesus does. And that is the, he said, that's the kind of church I'm building, the kind that man is called to be committed and connected to one another. And in them, the powers of hell will not prevail, but the powers of heaven will live. You name it, Jesus conquers it. You name it. I'm not going to try to start naming stuff. But I'm telling you, whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever seems to have your number and push your buttons the most, the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit just destroys it and can change it. Can change it. If you want freedom, He's the freedom maker. Jesus has the power to do it, connected to his body. And then I'm supposed to end with these three thoughts here. What this verse, Psalm 92, goes on to answer. How do I know I'm connected, and why should I be connected? He answers this in part of this in verse 12. I write it this way. When I'm connected in the house of the Lord, my life stands tall through life's challenges. My life stands tall through life's challenges. He likens it, flourish like a palm tree. I like palm trees. That means I'm in the warm weather place, right? Where the sun is shining and the sand on the beach feels pretty good. Flourish like a palm tree. Palm trees are known for their resilience, their endurance, and their ability to stand tall through storms and high winds. And so he says, when you're planted, when you're connected, you have the ability, your life has the ability to stand tall through life's challenges. And we know when you read through the Bible and you read throughout the New Testament, you see and you realize that trouble, trials, tribulations, battles, all types of things we will experience. We will encounter difficulties in life. We will encounter sufferings of different kinds in life. And Jesus said, rains on the just and the unjust. He ended his Sermon on the Mount, those who build their house on the rock, though the storm hits, their life will not collapse. And here, where do we gather strength from? We gather strength when we're connected one to another. The power of connection, when I'm connected to the church, man, it empowers me, it enables me, God working through his people to do all the one another's that the Bible talks about. Again, I've referenced it four times probably, that through all of that, the Holy Spirit has a way of encouraging, uplifting, supporting, all of those different things, and the spiritual, and then you add in all the different spiritual gifts that are available to the believer. You add all of that into the mix. My goodness, man, we should not be flimsy. We should not be flippity-floppity. We should not be living all the way down in the dumps. We should have some fruit of the Spirit in our life. Christians should have some joy in their life. Does that mean life doesn't treat you right? No, life sucks sometimes, Bruce. Life just flat out hits you hard. Man, I hope that shoulder's okay. You're a big dude. I'm glad you're on my team. Does it not? Picking on another big guy over here. Does it not? That doesn't mean we live there though, right? That doesn't mean we live there. That does not mean we live there when life is crazy. We don't have to become crazy, right? That doesn't mean we stay there. No. Man, we should see the contagiousness of one another, not the COVID kind, but the Spirit kind, the Holy Spirit kind, the joy kind, the love kind, the peace kind, the goodness kind, the self-control kind, all the goodness, the faithfulness kind, the gentleness kind. I don't know about you, but when I get around a gentle person, it checks up on my pride and says, you better slow your roll. When I get around people who are full of joy, it makes me like, I want more of that. I know we all have our list. This is why we can't. This is why we don't. This is why I shouldn't. But God has his. And his has a way of working us and changing us. The second thing, Psalm 92 answers, when we're connected, how do I know I'm connected? My life stands tall through life's challenges. Number two, my life is strong and durable and useful. My life is strong, durable, and useful. He likens it to grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Cedars there grow strong, durable. They are graceful. They are beautiful. They are high. They are tall, to upwards of 120 feet tall. They have a fragrance about them Their branches spread wide, some as 30 to 50 feet wide. They are known as the king of trees. And they have the title of being told they are excellent in building material. Cedar wood, excellent in building material. In other words, they are useful, they are strong, they are durable. Grow like them. When we're connected, we have the chance for our life to be able to be strong, durable, and useful. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he tells him in a house there are these different vessels. Vessels of dishonor and vessels of honor. Strive to become a vessel of honor in the hands of the master to do the good works. Choose to be, position your life in a way where you can be a vessel of honor, useful in the hands of the master. He's like, man, I don't know. My life, I don't really think I got that much to offer. Join the club. Because by natural stats, natural statistics, this fella shouldn't be doing what he's doing. Mm-mm. May I propose to you that little is much in the hands of God? You've heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples took somebody, little boy's food away from him. The little boy had five loaves of bread and what? And there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So the scholars believe upwards of 20,000 plus people were gathered that day. Five loaves of bread, two fish, put in the hands of Jesus, who blessed it, broke it, handed it out, keep giving it out, kept giving it out, continued to give it out, to where everybody ate, to where they were all fully satisfied. And after all of that, it said, then the disciples went out and gathered the leftovers, and there were 12 basketfuls. And how many disciples were there? 12 disciples. I don't know about you, but our house believes in leftovers. We ate those leftovers from Gus's fried chicken last night. They still taste good. What am I getting at? Man, when you put your little life in the great big hands of your Creator, He has such a powerful and special way of tailoring your life to matter to so many other people. To make a difference, to be useful, to be useful. And lastly, how do I know if I'm connected? Why should I be connected? He says, my life tells a story for the glory of God. My life stands tall through challenges. My life is useful. And lastly, my life tells a story for the glory of God. He likens it to, you will still bear fruit in old age. You'll still be fresh and flourishing. You'll be able to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. My life tells a story for the glory of God. It focuses on where I'm growing, what I'm doing, and where I'm going. That I'm able to still produce fruit in my life. The older I get, hopefully the better the fruit will be off of my life. And that's what he's saying. The older you get, you'll still be able to bear good fruit in your old age. I want to be, God willing, 85, whatever it is. Some people are like, you crazy to want to live that long. I don't know, however long I get to live, I just know if I get to the old age of stage, the old stage of being that, I want to know that, man, there's good fruit on my tree. Not no stanky old fruit. Not that kind that on one side of it, it looks good. You turn it around and it's all bruised and beat up and nasty. You know, you get a banana and you think, that's going to be a good banana. And you peel it open and it's got a big old bruise down the middle of it. You're like, I can't eat that. I want to bear fruit as I get older. Anybody else? You want to fade off the scene. You just want to fizz out and just kind of have your light blown over and be nothing anymore. No. He says, stay connected. And even when you get older, you're still going to be bearing some good fruit. And he says, you're still going to be doing some good things. You're going to still be vital and you're still going to be fresh. You're going to be vital. Keep that word in mind. You're going to be vital as you get older. Now, you don't see Pastor Prentice in the front much, hardly ever anymore. But I will say you feel the effective prayers that Pastor Prentice prays. I don't know when he sleeps. I don't. Sometimes he has a bad habit of calling me late at night. And I'm getting into bed, already in bed. To him, he's just getting started. Still vital. Still vital. You're still vital. Don't let the devil lie to you. You're still vital. And why is he still vital? Because he stays connected. Not only is he connected to the vine, but he's connected to the branches. That's why he's still vital. I want to be like that. When I'm not pastoring and preaching like this, I want to know that this church can still count on me to still pray. And then he says, you're still going to point people to the Lord. Your life's still going to be pointing people to Jesus. Pastor Lindsay's grandfather witnessed to his Amazon driver just a week or two before he passed away. His life still pointing people to Jesus. Why? Because he stayed connected. He stayed connected. Psalm 92 illustrates a powerful illustration of being connected to the church. If you can't stand, I'm going to close that. I went way too long. As you could tell, I was super bored up here. I want to end. I want to take a couple of minutes to do this, and then we're going to end with this declaration of this song again in our life, because there's a verse in there that talks about it. It talks about what the devil tries to do, but it talks about what the power of God does, and I want us to sing that one more time. But before we get there, I want to do this. I want us to break into groups, small groups. If you want to, I was in this church. I don't make nobody do anything. But you're still a grown person. You can do what you want to do. But I want to tell you, there's power and connection. I already preached it. I don't need to re-preach it. There's power and connection. I want to encourage you to group up with some folks in the church today. And I want you to pray for one another. I want us to take a moment to pray for one, whatever it might be. You might have something completely spirit-led to pray. You might ask somebody what you need prayer for, and you pray for them. But let's take a moment to do that. I'm going to pray. You're going to pray. And then we're going to sing this song. Lord, we thank you for drawing us close today, drawing us together today. May our lives be better because of it, stronger because of it, fruitful because of it. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.